An Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales. Book 3, Chapter 7. How to Preserve a Good Reputation Together with the Practice of Humility. Men do not receive praise, honor, and glory for ordinary virtues, but for something extraordinary. By praise, we seek to induce others to value the merit of someone. By honor, we testify that we value it ourselves. And glory, I hold, to be the brilliant reputation ensuing upon collective praise and honor. So that, if honors and praises resemble precious stones, the union of many produces, so to say, an enamel of glory. Now, inasmuch as true humility does not allow us to imagine that we excel or ought to be preferred to others, it does not allow us to seek for that praise, honor, and glory which we hold to be the reward of excellence. But it does not militate against the wise man's precept to value our good name. For a good reputation does not imply any marked superiority, but simply an ordinary good and respectable life, which humility in no way forbids us to be conscious of, any more than to desire to be held in good repute for the same. Undoubtedly, humility might despise even a good name, were it not that thereby charity would be injured, for a good reputation is one of the foundations of society, without which we are not only useless, but actually hurtful to the public welfare, and a cause of scandal. Therefore, charity demands, and humility consents, that we should seek and studiously preserve a good name. Again, as the leaves of a tree, which in themselves are little worth, are yet very useful, not only in adorning it, but in sheltering the tender fruit. So, a good reputation, though in itself of little value, becomes precious, not only as an ornament of our lives, but as the guardian of our virtues, especially those which are tender and weak. Our energies are stimulated at once gently and powerfully by the necessity of preserving our reputation, and of really being that which we are thought to be. Let us then strictly watch over our virtues, because they are pleasing to God, who is the first and chief end of all our actions. And as those who preserve fruits not only preserve them, but put them into vessels suitable for their preservation, so, while divine love is the principal guard of our virtues, we may safely add the further protection of a good reputation. But we must not be over-eager or over-careful concerning it. For those who are so very sensitive about their reputation are like people who are always taking medicine for every trifling indisposition. They mean to preserve their health, while really they ruin it. And those who are so delicate about their reputation lose it altogether, for this excessive sensitiveness makes them uneasy, touchy, and insupportable to others, provoking the malice of slanderers. As a general thing, self-control and contempt for calumny and evil reports are more successful remedies than resentment, disputes, and revenge. Calumny dies away under contempt, but irritation seems half to verify it. The crocodile, they say, only hurts those who fear it, and neither will calumny hurt any save those who take it to heart. an excessive fear of losing our good name implies want of reliance in that which is its principal foundation, the truthfulness of a good life. Those towns whose bridges are made of wood are always in dread of dangerous floods, but where the bridges are stone, they fear nothing but very unwanted inundations. So, a truly Christian soul can afford to despise the vexations of evil tongues, but weaker men are forever fretted and aggrieved. Certainly, he who is eager to stand well with everyone ends with standing well with no one, and he who is willing to be honored by those who are themselves corrupt and dishonorable deserves to lose his honor. A good name is like a signboard that indicates where virtue dwells. Therefore, in all things and everywhere, virtue is to be preferred. If, then, it is said that because you are of a devout habit that you are a hypocrite, or if, having forgiven an injury, you are called a coward, take no heed of such things. They are the judgments of foolish, trifling people, and even if you were thus to lose your good name, still you are not justified in forsaking virtue, or in turning aside from its paths, for this would be to prefer mere foliage to fruit. That is to say, external gain to inward and spiritual good. We should be jealous of our good name, but not idolize it. And, as we would not offend the eyes of good men, neither must we wish to please those who are bad. The beard is an ornament to men and long hair to women. If it is all plucked out by the root, it will scarcely grow again. But if it be only cut or shaven, it will soon grow again, and be yet stronger and thicker. And so, if our reputation be cut, or even closely shaved, by the tongue of slander, which David compares to a sharp razor, we need not be disquieted. It will soon grow again, both more lovely than before and more substantial. But if we lose our reputation by our vices, our meanness, and our evil deeds, the root is plucked up, and we shall hardly ever recover it. The root of good reputation is goodness and probity, and whilst it remains in us, the honor due to it will ever spring up anew. We must forsake this idle conversation, this useless pursuit, this frivolous friendship, this foolish inclination, if they tarnish our good name. For our good name is worth more than all such empty gratifications. But if murmurs, vexations, or slanders arise because of our pious practices, our progress in devotion, and our pursuit after our eternal welfare, let us leave such curs to bay at the moon. For if indeed they are able to excite any unjust suspicion of our good name, and so cut the hair and shave the beard of reputation, it will soon grow back, and the razor of calumny will only strengthen our good fame, as the pruning hook strengthens the vine, causing its fruit to abound and multiply. Let us keep our eyes fixed on our crucified Savior, and go on in his service in simple-hearted confidence, with discretion and prudence. He will watch over our reputation, and if he permits it to be lost, he will restore it tenfold, or else cause us to advance in that blessed humility, one grain of which weighs more than all worldly honors. If we are unjustly blamed, let us calmly oppose the calumny with truth. But if it perseveres, let us persevere in our humility. For we cannot better protect our reputation than by trusting it wholly to the hands of God. Let us imitate St. Paul and serve God in good repute and evil repute, so that we may be able to say with David, "For thy sake have I borne reproach, shame hath covered my face." There are some exceptions, such as horrible and infamous crimes which no one should endure to have imputed to him falsely, and certain persons on whose good reputation the edification of others depends. In such cases, following the opinion of divines, we must calmly seek reparation of the evil. End of Chapter 7.